Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Gracious and tender was he. is no stranger. But the Savior of Galilee.
Such a beautiful song on this Father's Day weekend, and a song that my father so enjoyed singing. And I'm going to do something a bit different on the program this week since it is Father's Day weekend. I'm going to play our anniversary program that we played and put together 3 years ago. And you will hear bits and pieces of programs that my dad produced, some of my dad's preaching, and since it's Father's Day, I just wanted to honor my dad. And it was in June of 1937 that the Lights of Spiritual Guidance first went on the air on a radio station in High Point, North Carolina. So after I have a word of prayer with you and give you more information about the program, we're going to listen to that, and I hope you enjoy it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the dads, for my dad. Thank you for his life and his influence, his burden for the radio program, and for the countless thousands of people who have been impacted spiritually by the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I thank you for the memories. I thank you for the influence that he had on my life. Father, I pray that you would continue to bless this program and those who listen to it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are listener supported faith-based program, have always been since 1937, so we need your help. So would you write us and let us know you hear the program, and if you can, would you send a gift so that we can stay on this radio station? You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through Venmo or through PayPal. I hope you'll do that, and I hope you enjoy this walk back in time. The first program that we have any record of is on a record from 1947. My dad's quartet sings, dad preaches a sermon, and then highlights from other programs, as well as some of my dad's preaching. May God bless you as you listen to this special edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Living in Eden, heaven so fair up yonder. I believe that I've received as much, if not more, encouragement this week, beloved, to keep on preaching the old-fashioned gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ than I have in any one week, not because the mail has been so large, the mail has been comparatively small, but, beloved, I'm glad that there are other folks that have come to us and told us how much they appreciated the broadcast and how much they appreciated the stand we took against sin. And almost every time I receive a card or letter, somebody is just begging me earnestly not to compromise. Well, beloved, if that's worrying you, you just quit worrying about it this morning, because I'm not even having the least idea whatsoever of ever compromising. I started to make it through to the city, and I'm going to preach the old-fashioned gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as long as God will give me breath. Now, I mean that this morning. I'm not just saying that to be saying something. I mean it from the depths of my heart. And when it gets to the place where I can't preach it, I'll close my Bible, I'll resign my churches, I'll give up my radio program, and I'll go back to the mill, brother, where I was before I started preaching, because I'm not going to compromise. We're glad this morning for the privilege of broadcasting the gospel and telling the wonderful story of Jesus.
I want to talk to you this morning, friends, for a little while on the subject of the threefold nature of sin. And our text is found in Judges, the 16th chapter, the 21st verse. And they took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Sin, in the very beginning, is the transgression of the law. Any sin, large or small, cannot enter into the kingdom of Almighty God. Many people are living in the world today, are trying to commit little sins, trying to sin every day, and still have the blessing of old-time salvation burning in their souls. They think that a man can continue to sin every day and still be a child of God. A man who's been born again does not commit sin from the depth of his heart every day that he lives. God sent his Son to come into the world to die to save us from sin, that we might not continue in sin. The blood that flowed from the cross of Calvary can do away with sin and make a man a new creature in Christ. Pick him up and set his feet on a solid foundation. He can have the love and the power of God manifested in his life and be one of those who has experienced a real case of old-fashioned Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, blood-bought salvation bound in his heart.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
And the lights of spiritual guidance is on the air. This is your radio pastor, Reverend G. Harold Oman, speaking. And what a joy to my heart to share with you the gospel in song and from the word on the broadcast today. Pray for us. Stay tuned with us now. And the Lord bless you real good today is our prayer. How wonderful it is to think about the time that we'll be at home with our Lord throughout eternity. The group sings again just now.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see.
He calls the raging billows from me roar. is a great Redeemer, Savior, this wonderful Lord proclaim. Hail, highest of angels in glory, strength and honor give to his holy name.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lights of spiritual guidance is on the air. This is your radio pastor, Reverend J. Harold Lohman, speaking. What a real joy to visit with you again today through the medium of radio, and I trust that our coming will be an uplift and a challenge to the hearts of each of you in our wonderful radio family today.
They ran up to him with a note. He looked at it. It said, "He whom thou lovest is sick," and he put it in his pocket. And you say, "Wait a minute, preacher, is that all the note said?" That's what the book says. It says, "He whom thou lovest is sick." Well, didn't he love everybody? He surely did. But my friends, I've got news for you. I don't care who you are, where you live, what the number of your house is, what the circumstances are that surround your life. This man that I'm talking about knows the number of your house. He knows the route you live on. He knows whether it's in a ranch-style home or in a log cabin. He knows whether you got a bank account or whether you haven't got a dime. He knows the room they put you in when they take you to the hospital. And they know, beloved, when they roll a casket into the front room in the midst of all your suffering. He knows all about you. But a few days passed, and he said, "Let's go to Bethany." And they said, "Master, did not of late the Jews sought to stone thee, and thou goest again?" He said, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walketh in the light, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if he walk in darkness, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him." And on the way up to Bethany, two broken-hearted sisters had buried their brother a few days before. One of them said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And he said, "Your brother shall live again." She said, "I know he'll live again in the resurrection of the last day." But it was at the Bethany home that day that he reached across the boundary line of worlds and pushed back the clouds and the curtains and, beloved, lifted that Old Testament question out of the book of Job, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" And Jesus stood there at Bethany that day, and he answered that question when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he said, "Where is the tomb?" And she said, "By this time he stinketh." And, beloved, they wept, and he wept with them. He said, "Roll that stone out of the way." And they rolled that stone back, and he looked in. There was Lazarus dead, wrapped in grave clothes and a napkin about his face. And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth, bound hand and foot, wrapped in grave clothes and a napkin about his face. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he can not only create life and sustain life and empower life and provide for life and protect life and illuminate life, but he can recreate life. One of these days, this preacher that's preaching to you this afternoon, I may go by the way of a cemetery, but if I do, the first noise I hear, I'm a coming out. Because that'll be the day the trumpet sound. That'll be the day the bugle blows. That'll be the day when the saints of God. He's the image of the invisible God.
I remember some time ago when I kind of got beside myself a little bit, and I do that once in a while. A woman came up to me and she said, "You got excited, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, and I think it's time you'd get excited too." She said, "Well, I don't believe in shouting." I said, "Well, I wouldn't either if I didn't have something to shout about. That's the thing that makes a difference." She said, "Well, you were so unethical." I said, "Well, I'm sorry. I studied ethics. I try to be ethical." She said, "Yeah, but you detoured." I said, "Yes, I did that on purpose." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because some folks gotten so far off the main road, you have to detour to get to where they're living." I made up my mind 45 years ago that I was going to see what was inside the city of God. I set my face like a flint toward that celestial city and intend by His mercy and by His grace to be in that number when He calls His children home, when He comes back after His chosen bride. I've never been to a city in all the years of my ministry, and I've traveled in 39 states, Canada and Cuba. I've never been to a city where there wasn't a fevered brow, where eyes didn't get dim, and hearing didn't get difficult, and steps were not feeble and slow. Never been to a city where there was not sickness and pain and death. Never been to a city where the shades of night didn't settle, and where men and women were facing up to anxieties, persecution, problem, and peril, perplexity, and those vicissitudes of life that bring heartache and grief and despair to the soul. But this morning I report to you that I'm on my way to a city four square, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, street of pure gold, a city where decay never gnaws at fatalist beauty, where time never writes a wrinkle, and where death will never dig a grave, a city where they'll never call a doctor, for no one will ever get sick. They'll never call a funeral director, for no one will ever die, a city where eyes will never be dim, hearing will never be difficult, and steps will never be feeble and slow, where taxes and rent will never come due and have to be paid, where there'll never be one night of darkness, a city where they'll not shut the gates of it at all by day, for there'll be no night there, where they'll have no need of the sun or the moon, for the Lord God is the lamp and the light thereof. I've determined that I'm going to see what's inside that city.
The heavenly porter, blessed be God, is concerned not about who you are, where you've been, but He's vitally concerned about where you're going.
Yeah.
And He'll look after you on the journey. I said yes to that porter. I'd like to have a pillow for my head. It was a long trip, and I thought I could relax and rest a while. And he laid those pillows over on the other seat and fluffed up one of those downy pillows and put it under my head. He said, "Now rest a while if you can, sir." Tears came to my eyes and rolled down across my face. I said, "That's just exactly what the heavenly porter has told me and permitted me to do more than one time."
Yeah.
Just nestle my head on his bosom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And friend, if you've been in the way very long, you know what I'm talking about. But after a while, the porter came back through the train, and I called him. I said, "Mr. Porter, I want to ask you a question." I said, "How far are you going on this trip?" And ladies and gentlemen, I almost didn't stay in my seat. He said, "Sir," he said, "I'm a-going with you to the end of the line." I said, "That's exactly what the heavenly porter told me when I got on board. He'd never leave me nor forsake me, but he'd go with me to the end of the age." But after a while, he said to me, and I hastened to close, he said to me finally, he said, "Sir, what's your destination?" I said, "Greensboro, North Carolina." And he stood there for a minute, as if he was trying to figure up how far it might be to where I was going, and he said, "You know, you'll soon be home."
Yeah.
We got on over it to High Point, North Carolina, and that was the last stop before home. And I'd already sent a telegram to my wife for her to get somebody to bring the children, and I wanted them to meet me at the station. I lived a lonely life, living out of a suitcase week after week and month after month, and I was looking forward to that family reunion. And when the train pulled into the station, I saw my companion and my children. My little girl saw me first. She said, "There's my daddy." The porter had already picked up my suitcase and taken it to the loading platform. And when I got ready to get off, I reached in my pocket and I got a little larger piece of money than normally I would have given. And when I stepped off, I put it in his hand and I said, "Mr. Porter, I want you to know how much I appreciate you getting me on board this train, looking after me, and giving me the care you did for all these miles." I said, "This is a little token of appreciation and thanks. I've thought so many times and I've reached the place anymore that it's hard for me to ask the Lord for very much. Hard to ask Him for very much. I'm spending most of my time these days trying to catch up on thanks and gratitude and appreciation. I'm so glad, beloved, this morning that one day He commanded the porter to watch."
Our Father, take the message, seal it to the hearts of everyone listening today, and save that man or woman that's lost. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Goodbye, and God bless you, beloved, until we meet again. Write us this week. And don't forget, friend, I'm still praying for you.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.